Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Ordinary Life. As a courtesy to others, would you please make sure that your cell phone is turned off? And welcome to those of you who are joining by live stream. Thank you to Josh and John Watson for making sure that we get out there. You'll notice that we're not having any overhead slides today. I'm old school, I call them overheads. So,
I'm trying to help them become
this. This is an example of what you're in for today. So, we don't need a slide to do this. Mm-hmm. No matter who you are or where you are in your spiritual journey, you are celebrated here. So let's begin in silence. Just take a deep breath to do what it takes to be here. If you need to close your eyes, you can do that. And may grace be in our heads and in our thinking. May grace be in our eyes and in our seeing. May grace be in our ears and in our hearing. May grace be in our mouths and in our speaking today. May grace be in our hearts and in our understanding, and may grace be at our ends and at our departing. Amen. So, Diane Chinky, where did you go? Oh, right there. Asked me to announce that after class next Sunday, there will be a gathering of anybody who is interested in being on the community committee. We'll meet with you after class next Sunday. Next Sunday, Dr. Holly Hudley will be speaking because I will be giving, she's just coming in. I will be giving the sermon in both the 8:30 and the 11 o'clock service because our senior minister leaves tomorrow to be involved in General Conference of the United Methodist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, right? And then the next Sunday, the following Sunday, he will be here on the first Sunday in May to do a town hall meeting about what happens at General Conference. So is that good? That everything? This is the Reverend Melinda Owens. She was appointed here in January of 2022.
2023.
Okay. And since she has been here, she and I had an immediate connection, and we play together well. And I think Melinda is the minister in charge of pastoral care for St. Paul's. And frankly, it is the hardest job in any church, particularly a multi-staff, non-parish church like St. Paul's. It's really not the easiest job in the world. She and I meet together once a month and talk, and we encounter each other at services and other places. And I have wanted to do from the very beginning whatever is possible to help make her ministry a success. And so I wanted the opportunity to introduce you to Melinda and to introduce Melinda to you. Years ago, there was a program on the Bravo Channel. Is there still a Bravo Channel? Some of you may remember it. It was hosted by a guy named James Lipton, and it was called Inside the Actor's Studio. And you remember that at the end of that program, James Lipton had a series of questions that he asked his guests. Same four or five questions every guest. And then when COVID hit and we started watching Stephen Colbert, I found out that Stephen Colbert had the Stephen Colbert questionnaire that he asks questions of people. And so I decided that if I ever had an opportunity to interview somebody in class, I would take those ideas and squish them together and make up my own questionnaire. I've taken some of their questions, but some I made up. And so Melinda doesn't have any idea what she's in for.
But, God help us.
What? What did you say?
God help us.
Yes, I'd say that. So this is a scientifically proven questionnaire. And at the end of the questionnaire, we will know you. You will probably learn some things about yourself you didn't know. Mm-hmm. Your husband will, if he were here, he would learn some things about you that you didn't know. You ready?
I'm always ready.
So the first question is, what's the best sandwich?
Ham and cheese, lettuce, tomato, and mayo. That's it. That's the best sandwich. No pickle.
No what?
Pickle. I had to be detailed. Yeah. Ham and cheese sandwich.
What is the best thing or your most favorite thing to do with your free time?
Watch different series on Netflix or other streaming platforms.
Like what?
Blacklist. Like, I love Blacklist, so that's why it came out. That's kind of like my favorite series. Blacklist, Greenleaf was good. That was very good. I'm trying to think. We watch a lot. Right now we're watching one called The Innocent. I can't think of a lot, but that's what we do. We watch a lot of series.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that you own that you should throw away?
Oh my God. The one thing?
You got more than one?
Yes.
Are you a hoarder?
No, I'm not a hoarder. I should throw away.
You can trust these people.
No, I should throw away a wedding gift that we received and we have not used in years, but I continue to keep it because I feel bad about throwing it away.
What is it?
It was a quilt that was made by someone in the congregation. I feel bad about throwing it away, but yeah.
I'll take it.
What do you mean? I'll put it. Yeah. Yeah.
My parents gave us a wedding gift when we got married. It is the most hideous thing I think that we have. And I was the same camp. I can't, because they gave it to us. Mm. It's just awful.
Did you still have it?
Yeah. I do. What is the hardest thing about doing ministry that the seminary did not prepare you for?
The hardest thing that seminary did not prepare me for has been adaptation. Meaning, seminary was great in that it definitely shaped and informed my beliefs and even my personal faith, but it did not prepare me for adaptation. Meaning, the world is constantly changing, and you have a church that has been established many, many, many centuries ago. And sometimes it's difficult for the church to realize that, okay, we should actually adapt to what's going on in the world and the various people of the world versus trying to alienate ourselves or remain the same. And for example, seminary did not prepare myself as well as any other seminary student for what happened with the pandemic. And that
with the what?
Pandemic. Yeah. And that churches had no idea what to do. And as a result of that, some churches actually closed. My grandmother's church in North Louisiana during COVID did not have any form of worship service, any form of ministry, nothing. On the opposite end of the spectrum, you had churches that were streaming online before the pandemic that decided, oh, well, Let's just try to stream online. But it's bigger than that. Something is happening, meaning this. God has always been at work since the beginning of time. God is at work now, and God will continue to be at work. So our job, I think, is to observe. And observe using three things. Observe by listening, looking, and also learning. In that, again, God is at work. So it is our job, our task, to figure out what God is doing, where we are and beyond, and join in what God is doing by serving God. So I think that has been the most profound aspect of seminary school that was not taught in terms of adaptation, because once again, the world is changing, the world is evolving, and there was no script given, no book written, no class in terms of, okay, as a pastor, what do you do when something happens? So that's my final answer.
You know, I found that out because I think I shared this with you. I preached midweek communion, and I noticed that the lectionary reading was the one that you'd preached on the week before. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this can't be right. But I looked in the lectionary. I went online, looked in the lectionary. I finally called Vanderbilt Library, and I said, why do we have the same lectionary readings during Holy Week every year? Mm-hmm. Every year. And the answer that I got is the answer that church authorities give. Mm-hmm. We've always done it this way.
Wow.
And frankly, we've got things that go on in worship that if we updated, we'd have more people come.
Mm-hmm.
So speak of looking and learning. Tell me about Lunch and Learn.
Lunch and Learn. Lunch and Learn was established by the great Bill and I, and it is just a time.
Did you hear what she said?
Oh, my God. What did I say?
The great.
I'll explain great later, because it a lot of the times when you hear words, it's not what you think they mean. And that's an example of, I use the word great, but it's not great in the sense that Bill think it is. So, yeah, I'll just say that like that. But Lunch and Learn is a time where Bill and I have carved out once a month, the second Monday of each month, where we invite people that are a part of the congregation here at St. Paul's, which includes all of you, to just have lunch with us. And we gather and we hear stories and we learn about each other and we learn from each other. We've had one last month, and we thought it was absolutely wonderful where people could, in fact, just come together and just talk and just share. And from that meeting, even determine, okay, where do I go next on my journey here at St. Paul's? Because part of the discussion will entail at the end, me or Bill actually asking the question, hey, well, what can we do to make your journey here better? So that's Lunch and Learn, and we are very, very, very excited about it in terms of what God will actually do with Lunch and Learn. And I think he invited you all. I just want to invite you again, because I don't know what Bill said, but I want to invite all of you to be a part of Lunch and Learn and let Bill know if you're interested, and we will follow up from there.
We passed out sign-up sheets, and a lot of people mm-hmm. signed, and mm-hmm. that's good. What's the scariest animal?
Snake.
Agree.
Snake. I do not like snakes. I had a snake. It was last year, because I'm always observing and looking. That's why, for example, like my garage, I have to see everything. Can't have anything. I have to see everything. And I recall last year, it was one Sunday after church. I got home from church, had lunch, took a nap. After I took a nap, I walked to my front door. And then it's a glass door, and I looked outside. I looked in my flower bed, and I said, what is that? So I went and got my husband. I was like, it's something there. I don't know what it is. And so he comes to the door. He said, "That's a snake." And I went crazy. I started screaming. And keep in mind, I'm inside. The snake was outside. So I started screaming. And so my husband goes outside, and he actually ended up killing the snake. And he took a photo. So he called me and said, "I took a photo. You want to see it?" I said, "Absolutely not. Why would you take a photo of a snake?" So that's my snake story. I do not like snakes.
Okay.
I just don't like snakes.
So what are your plans for pastoral ministry at St. Paul's in the future? What's coming?
Oh, what's coming in the future? One of the important things that's coming in the future is Stephen Ministry. I am happy to say that myself, as well as two other individuals, have completed the Stephen Ministry Leaders Course. And for all of you who are not aware, Stephen Ministry is a ministry where individuals within the congregation are trained to provide one-on-one care to those who may be experiencing any difficulty in life. And that can be job loss, that can be divorce, it can be grief, it can be whatever. So I am actually in the process of moving forward to implement a Stephen Ministry here at St. Paul's. That's, to me, that's the most important thing in terms of being able to provide care for all of the individuals here at St. Paul's.
When will we hear more?
You will hear more within, I would say, the next month in terms of the actual plan. There is a draft plan that's being finalized. So you will hear more in terms of if you're interested in being a part of it, if you are in need of a Stephen minister to walk alongside you during something you may be experiencing in life. So within the next month, you should hear something about it.
You come back and talk about it?
If you would have me, sure.
Okay.
Yes.
So I know a little bit about your call story. I know that I think one of the reasons that you and I connect mm-hmm. is that we're both Baptists.
I agree.
I think that's part of it.
Yes, that's part of it.
I think part of it. As I told you, Methodists like to get Baptist
mm-hmm.
because of two things. We tithe
mm-hmm.
and we know how to preach, I think.
Okay.
So, but you didn't start out in the ministry. You started in the space industry.
I did.
What were you?
So going back, I was reared in the Baptist faith. My dad is actually a Baptist pastor, and I am from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So I moved to Houston in November of 2003 for a job in the aerospace industry at NASA. I was a part of the then Day of Launch Ascent team, and that team was responsible to make sure that the shuttle actually launched safely. And we determined that by measuring wind at different intervals prior to the shuttle launch. So I was there for 4.5 years. And while I was there, I also pursued a master's degree in systems engineering. And I completed that degree in December of 2006.
You moved from the space industry to the oil and gas industry?
Yes, I did.
ExxonMobil?
Yes.
And while you were at the Woodlands, you commuted for 3 years, right? Four. How many years did you commute to, from the Woodlands to Perkins?
Oh, wow. Yeah, 3 years.
3 years.
It was 3 years.
She drove from the Woodlands to Dallas on a regular basis for 3 years to get her theology degree.
Mm-hmm. Switch. Oh, that's a funny story. So, my very last semester of seminary school, one of my professors told everybody in the class, if you sign up in the career services office, I'll give you some bonus points on your final exam. Because at that time, a lot of the students were not utilizing the career services office at University of Houston. So I said, okay, I'll sign up. obtained a degree, as I said before, in December of 2006. In February of 2007, I received a random email from ExxonMobil saying they wanted to interview me based upon a resume that I had provided to the Career Services office. So I didn't have anything to lose. Now, keep in mind, at this point in my life, I was extremely happy in terms of my career. I actually thought I would be in the aerospace industry forever. So I didn't have anything to lose. So I said, yeah, I'll go to the interview. So I went to the first interview. In March, ExxonMobil invited me for an all-day site interview. And I went to the site interview. And in April, they made me an offer. An offer I couldn't refuse. So I said yes, and I started working for ExxonMobil in June of 2007. That's literally how it happened. But I didn't know at the time that all of it was a part of God's plan for me.
Mm-hmm. So what made you enter the ministry?
Made me? Oh, that's a strong word, made. Oh, my God. So
it's not any stronger than great.
Rebecca, great. Everything will go back to great today. So ministry. I was reared Baptist. I was reared in the faith in terms of knowing God, the love of God. So I actually had a plan for my life. And that plan entailed God would lead me in the corporate world, help me to rise up the corporate ladder to management level, because I knew enough to know once you get to a certain management level in corporate America, if you're smart, you can literally live off of the stock that you're gonna receive every year as a bonus. So I already knew that. So I said, God, here it is. If you would allow me to rise up the corporate ladder at ExxonMobil, I will work for 5 years and then I will retire and I will serve you. That was the plan. And it sounds good, right? Great plan. So in June of 2007, I started working at ExxonMobil in engineering for 2.5 years. After 2.5 years, I was elevated right into management. So I'm at the point. I was at a point where, okay, yeah, this is exactly what I asked God for. So as time went on, 1 year passed, 2 year passed, 3 years passed, then all of a sudden it hit me. I was totally not happy. I was not fulfilled. So it was at that point, I was so, so unhappy, I actually began to seek God for more. And once again, me having an engineering mind, as I was seeking God for more, I already had the answer. I just wanted God to tell me. For me, more meant, well, Melinda's teaching another Bible study class at the church or something like that. So I already had what I wanted God to tell me, right? So I went on this journey of seeking God. And then as I began to seek God, God just instilled in me a desire, a love, a passion for his people. And he was actually using me in different capacities where I was actually preaching and teaching, and I had no idea what was going on. So I shared it with my current pastor, and at that time, I also was studying The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. The very last chapter, chapter 40 of The Purpose-Driven Life, asks the question, so what is your purpose? When I read that question, I clearly heard the Holy Spirit say, shepherd my people and preach the gospel. And I said, I'm not doing it. Find somebody else. That quote, I can quote it. That was my response. Because again, I was not expecting that in terms of more. So for many months, I wrestled with God. And when I wrestled, I cried. I begged God to find somebody else. For me, it was logical. There were people who wanted to preach the gospel. Ask those people. I didn't want to do it, so why bother me? So again, God and I wrestled where, again, I begged God, please, please, please find someone else. And I didn't tell anyone because I felt if I didn't tell anyone, it would go away. That was the worst mistake I could have made. The more I remained silent, the more and more and more God instilled in me that passion to shepherd his people. Well, as time went on, meaning about 6 months, I had an experience that was a breaking point, and I briefly shared that experience. I got home from work early one day during the week, and I was flipping through the television, and I came across the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and this guy caught my attention. I didn't know who he was, but he said that there are times he would not preach a sermon to his congregation. Rather, he would read scripture and just allow that scripture to minister to God's people. Well, he started reading Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, and he said this. God is saying in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I don't know what happened, you all. I fell into some sort of trance. It wasn't a sleep, but I heard the guy saying, God is saying, Isaiah 41, 10, do not be afraid, for I'm with you. I opened my eyes. He was saying, Isaiah 41, 10, do not be afraid, for I'm with you. It happened a second time. I opened my eyes. The guy was literally saying again, Isaiah 41, 10, do not be afraid, for I'm with you. So it happened a third time. And when I opened my eyes the third time and I heard him say, God is saying, Isaiah 41, 10, do not be afraid, for I'm with you. I said, okay, God, I needed that. I said, yeah, I needed that. So I actually, at that point, I got up from my sofa. I walked into my bedroom. I picked up my daily bread for that particular day, opened it to that particular day. And you know what the scripture was. And that was my breaking point. So right then and there, I literally fell to my knees crying, and I said, God, I'm scared, but I will shepherd your people. I will preach your gospel if you lead me. And that's where my journey actually began. That's my story. Yeah, and I have not looked back since. I am totally happy, fulfilled. If I had the opportunity to go back into corporate America, I would not take that opportunity because I love people, I love God, and I just thank God he didn't listen to me all those nights when I was fasting and begging him to find somebody else. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here's a woman that is an engineer, helped mm-hmm. get space shuttles up in the sky, rose in the corporate ladder, went to seminary, obviously very bright, very motivated. So my question is, with all of that, how is it that you've gone so far off the trail when it comes to professional football teams?
That is not true. I love sports, by the way. And what do you mean by football teams? The football teams I support are actually great teams.
I mean, you honestly think that Tom Brady
New
is
Orleans
a good...
Saints. Somebody asked the question. They said, which teams I support? New Orleans Saints. I'm from Louisiana. Of course, I support the Saints.
How about the Chiefs?
Absolutely not.
Could you?
No, I do not support the Kansas City Chiefs.
Why not?
I do not support the Kansas City Chiefs because Bill, as well as others, have put Patrick Mahomes on the level of Tom Brady, and that is so wrong. He is nowhere near. Now, again, I love the Saints. I love other teams, but I give credit where credit is due. Tom Brady is the best quarterback I've seen. And I don't know of anyone currently in the NFL that's close. So when people try to compare him to Tom Brady, that's when it's like they're put on my do not like list.
You know who is on the cover of Time magazine this week?
Who?
Patrick Mahomes.
Four.
Being next to Jesus.
Well, that was not a great decision, whoever made that decision. Yeah.
So how did you get so interested in sports?
I have a very large family. Going back to my family of origin, my grandmother had 13 children, 8 boys and 5 girls, and we all were reared in Louisiana. and we were poor. So we didn't have a lot at all. So for us, sports was the thing that we all could gather around and be together and spend time together. And that for holidays, right? So after we would have Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, we would all gather and we would watch whatever sports team that would be playing. So that's why I have such a love for sports, because it runs in my family. We all love sports. We all watch sports, support a lot of the sports teams. And I actually played basketball when I was in high school. I was okay. I was pretty okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you didn't support Caitlin Clark.
I did. Did I? What do you mean support? You asked what team I was pulling for. I said South Carolina. That's not, I mean, again, Caitlin Clark. I like Caitlin. She's good.
She is good.
She's very good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you and your husband like sports together?
Yes.
Okay.
He likes the Saints too. He doesn't like Kansas City either.
He what? I
mean, he doesn't like Kansas City. Again, it's that putting him on that Tom Brady level. Yeah.
Well, I'll pray for you. So, have you ever asked anybody for their autograph?
Yes. I asked Shaquille O'Neal for his autograph many, 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 many years ago when I saw him at the airport.
You asked who?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw him at the airport in Baton Rouge, Louisiana many, many, many years ago. And I did ask him for an autograph. And I even ended up taking a picture. You know, he was way up here. I was way down here. But you could see both of us in the picture. Yes. Yeah.
That's a great story. What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie is The Notebook. Have any of you heard of The Notebook? Yeah, that's my favorite movie. I can watch that every
Tell
day.
Us about it. What's The Notebook
it's,
about?
It's a movie. It's about a love story where a couple... Yeah, it is a tearjerker, where you had a couple and the male actually documented their love story in a notebook. And when they ended up being old and his wife had to go to a nursing home because she was suffering from Alzheimer's, he would read the notebook, read their story, read their journey together. And sometimes it'll help her remember the two of them, and sometimes it didn't, but... I just love that story, that love story, I'll say it like that.
Because of your recommendation, I watched that movie.
Did you like it?
I did. It's sad, but it's a great movie.
Okay.
It's
great.
It's an expression of love.
Yes.
That's really, really, really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what living person do you most admire and why?
I most admire my mom. I shared with you all, my grandmother had 13 children. My mom was the first one of her siblings to actually go to college and graduate. And I admire my mom because she did not let her experiences as well as the circumstances define not only who she was, but where she was actually going. So my mom is the type of person that not only showed me what it meant to have a relationship with God and allow God to take you places you've never dreamed of. My mom ended up getting her master's degree, and she instilled in my sisters and I from a very young age the love, the fear of God. My very first Bible verse that I learned was Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, because my mom taught me the Lord's Prayer. So it's because of her humility, always striving for the best, not only in herself, but as well as others, that really, really allows me to put her on a pedestal that's above everyone else. And not only that, most importantly, my mama lived her faith. And that's what, being young, I didn't know a lot of in terms of scripture when people would quote scripture. I didn't know that. But I could look at my mom's life and know what it means to love someone, what it means to be humble, what it means to sacrifice and make sure God is always front and center in your life. So that's why I admire my mom, because not only did she beat the odds, but she is the great example of what it means to be a Christian and live for God daily.
Is she still alive?
Yes, she is.
Has she heard you preach?
Yes.
Is she a Saints fan?
Yes, she is. Oh, yes, Saints fan.
Yes, how about the Chiefs?
They go to a lot of games. No. We were doing okay until you said Chiefs. No. They love the Saints, so they go, her and my dad, they actually attend a lot of the Saints games.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. So she knows this whole story. She's proud of you, I'm sure.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. What's your most treasured possession?
My most treasured possession is my husband, but he's not a possession. I have to make sure I clear that up. My husband, that's my treasured possession. Yes, I think my husband is my treasured possession.
That's great.
My most treasured blessing, yes.
So how can these people here best support you?
You all could best support me definitely by keeping me in prayer, and that God would give me understanding, wisdom, and knowledge on how to lead his people. That's number one. And number two, every single one of you are a part of the community of St. Paul's. And I'm not going to say would love to be, but I am your pastor of congregational care. And I would love to be aware of situations that may be going on in your life that would entail any level or support of pastoral care. So number two, keep me informed on things that may be going on so I can best journey along with you all also. Those are the two things that I definitely would like from all of you.
So before I ask more questions, and John, I don't know if we were prepared to do this, or do we got a roving mic? Anybody got a question for, back here, Dr. Randy?
Mm-hmm. Why Perkins and why Methodist?
Why Perkins? My mentor pastor went to Perkins, so he recommended Perkins. That's why. Why Methodist? That's a story. See, Randy, I was tricked into being Methodist. That's my story I tell people. Seriously, it's because I had a Baptist background. And let me briefly tell you the story. Baptist background, when I moved to Houston, I was originally a part of a Baptist church. In 2006, I purchased a home in League City. So that pushed me farther from the Baptist church. So I actually began to look for churches in the League City area. So I was coming home one Sunday. I see a church. I just saw Hope Church on the building. So I pulled into the parking lot. I actually wrote down their information. So I got home. I pulled it up on the internet, and I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to visit. So I visited the church the next Sunday, and I enjoyed it. So I visited again and again, and then a few months later, keep in mind, as I was visiting, I didn't see no fire symbol. I didn't see anything about John Wesley. I didn't see red. I didn't see stoves. I didn't, any of that. So I joined the church. And I joined the church, and then I went to the new members class. And the pastor comes up, and he says, most people don't know we're Methodists. I said, oh, my God, my family's going to disown me. So at that point, I loved the church. I loved the people. I didn't want to leave. So I said, okay, I'm going to give it a try. So that is my journey. That's how I became Methodist. So that's why I always tell people I was tricked, because they didn't have Methodist in the name, anything like that. But it was a good thing. So, yeah.
Anybody else? Somebody? Question for Melinda. She knows everything except about football teams.
Yes.
I'd like to ask, what would be your favorite, but what part of the Bible do you associate with the most? What do you feel
strongly about? And then on the opposite end, what part do you have trouble feeling strongly about?
Okay, I'm trying to remember your question.
What part of the Bible, in a total and a whole, do you agree with very strongly? And then is there any parts that you disagree with very strongly?
I agree with the gospel of Jesus Christ very strongly. But I do not agree with a lot of the stories of violence, a lot of the stories of injustice that you would read in specifically in the Old Testament. I would say that I don't agree with, and I wrestle with the meaning. I wrestle with, okay, God, what are you trying to tell us? What are you trying to tell us when we read graphic details of babies are being killed, women are being killed, you know, things like that? I do wrestle with that. I still wrestle with things like that in terms of, okay, what does it mean for us? What does it mean in terms of God, who God is? Yes, but what I really, 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 really hold on to from the Bible when I mention the gospel of Jesus Christ, love. That's love, love, love. Live love is the phrase that I always keep in my forefront. Live love, and it's based upon that gospel of Jesus Christ. Did I answer your question? Okay.
So what's your daily spiritual practice?
My daily spiritual practice is praise and worship. Now keep in mind, I am the oldest of three siblings in my family, three girls. My sisters, including my dad, they can all sing and they all play musical instruments. Well, all of that bypassed me. I would love to be able to sing given my personality, but I can't. But my daily spiritual practice is, in fact, praise and worship, where I try to begin my day with prayer, reading a psalm, and praise and worship to God. And I try to end my day with praise and worship. That is my spiritual practice. That is how I maintain my connection with God in the midst of life, in the midst of ministry that can sometimes be overwhelming. At the end of every day, or at the beginning of every day, I can go to God in my prayer closet with my music and praise God and let Him know, before anything transpired this day, thank you and I praise you. And I end my day by telling God, no matter what happened today, you're still God and I still praise you. So that is my spiritual discipline that's extremely vital in my life.
So mm-hmm. If you had one song to listen to for the rest of your life, not that you had to listen to it 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. but just one song, what would it be?
It would be Order My Steps. That's my favorite song. It's called Order My Steps. I forgot who sings it, but that is my very, very favorite song because the song really, really talks about each and every day God ordering your steps, not just your steps, but transforming your mind, transforming your talk, things you say, transforming your heart. So that's my favorite song. It's called Order My Steps.
So I think that one of the things...
Wait, somebody had something.
Okay. Yeah, another question.
Oh, see, not they want me to sing, Bill. So I charge the fee.
What?
They want me to sing a few verses. I charge a fee.
That's all right. We got money.
I give you the family and friends discount, $500.
Go.
It's called Bill. Do you know that song? Can you? Yeah.
How about Randy?
The words are, humbly I ask you, teach me your will. While you are working, help me be still. Though Satan is busy, God is real. Order my steps in your word. Bridle my tongue, let my words edify. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Take charge of my thoughts, both day and night. Order my steps in your word. Guide my feet in your word. Show me how to walk in your word. Show me how to talk in your word. So those are some of the lyrics to the words. Yeah.
That's the one song. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that people don't have an appreciation for the fact. How many members do we have here in church? in St. Paul's? Do you know?
I thought it was over 3,000.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't mean to cast aspersions on anybody, but I think sometimes people expect ministers to be mind readers, and that we don't know, you don't know what's going on in the lives of these people unless they tell you. So if you have a pastoral need or concern, you have to let Melinda know. Otherwise, she won't know that. So.
You're correct.
Andy Lang, glad to see you here.
I was in the hospital earlier this week, and Melissa came to visit me, and I'm here this Sunday. So thank you, Melissa.
Anytime.
Yeah. Glad to see you, not in the hospital. Anybody else?
Can I say one thing before?
You can say it.
I just
want to,
again, highlight what you said, in that pastors are not psychic. And I'm telling you all that because I tell a lot of people that. In that there's an expectation that we know everything. And that is quite interesting because it's like, okay, if no one tells us, how will we know? And I've had, since I've been here, as well as other places, I've had various people upset because they were either in the hospital or something and they didn't have a pastor come by. And so I would ask the question, well, who did you tell? No one. And so I would say, well, I'm not psychic. Well, again, if I am aware, I can assuredly and confidently say something will take place, meaning either I will be there, one of the other pastors, awareness. So again, as Bill said, keep us informed so we will be aware. We care. We really do care. We have a heart for you all. We want to journey with you all. Just let us know what's going on so we can seek God on how to best journey with you during that time.
So if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Oh, I would like to hear God say, I have the best heavenly crawfish for you. Like that. Yeah, something like that. You know, yeah, something like that, Bill. You know, not that the cliche of serving a God, well done. No, that's fine, because if I make it in, obviously, well done. So I don't need to hear that. Tell me something. Yeah, give me something like that, like the best crawfish, you know, heavenly type. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. I can make that for you sometime.
Yeah, something like that, Bill. Yeah.
I want you to know what an absolute privilege it is to be in ministry with you. I really love you, and I'm so grateful that you're part of this community.
Thank you, Bill.
Remember, Dr. Holly Hudley is speaking next Sunday. I'll be preaching, so come to either 8:30, then here, or 11, and we'll see you. And if you want to visit with Melinda, you got to do it quickly because she's got to go be in the worship service. So thank you. No matter where you go this week, no matter what happens, remember this. You carry precious cargo, so watch your step, and we'll see you here next week. Thank you.